Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for having me here this year. My wife and I came last year to your conference and we thought you were on the right track. And the problems that you're facing are very much the problems that we are facing in Australia. And I've got some slides here and I'll try not to bore you with them too much. If they work, there they go. Who we are? We are the same as LMA. We are a group of agents, same as sale barns, sale yards, whatever you want to call them. But we have 97% of the business in Australia that our members do. That's merchandise and rural marketing of properties and of livestock. So that's just a brief of who we are. Animal welfare. That is the biggest problem that we are facing in Australia at this moment. We're facing it with in our sale barns or sale yards, on farm, and also in the community, because the people in the community don't know where their food comes from anymore. They all used to know where it came from. Everybody had a relation in the country or had a farm and they went and stayed there. Doesn't happen anymore. Next. So the way to handle it is to maintain high standards. You know, your defence is high standards. If you keep your high standards up, that's your defence at all times. We have client education is probably our biggest problem, because what is acceptable to us may not be acceptable to other people, and what some people do on farm is not acceptable to us, but then they send the problem into us at the sale barn. And that then becomes our problem, and as Paul said, once one person sees one person doing it, they then collectively think everybody does it that way. So we're all tarred with the same brush, so to speak. So knowledge, that's our biggest thing in all of this. Now this sign was last year at Modesto at Turlock, and I took a photo of this to take it back to show to our board that this is some of the laws that are in the US and that are present at the sale barn. The other side of this thing is I don't believe that we should have those signs up, because I think everybody should know what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. Why do you have to put a sign up to tell them what's not acceptable, especially, you know, severely crippled and or sick and unmarketable cattle? Well, why would they be coming into your sale barn if everybody knew their stages? So they shouldn't be coming, but it's a reminder that we all need to be on the same page with welfare. In Australia, this is one of the major newspapers called The Australian, and this appeared on the front page on a Saturday. Now, my phone rang at about 6:15 in the morning with someone, one of our members, asked me what the hell was I going to do about it. Well, at 6:15 in the morning, once the paper had gone out, not a great deal I could do about it that day. But it was the heading is Going, Going, Gone, Death of the Sale Yard, and which is the sale barn. You guys call them sale barn, we call them sale yards. There's a great push by the animal liberation groups, welfare people, some that are working for welfare and some are working for God only knows what reason, but they want to close us down. And that story that went on said that sale yards would be finished in Australia within 3 to 5 years. So we're fighting that. We've got the RSPCA who are against us. We have a group called Animals Australia. Will they be all happy if we ate lentil burgers and stopped eating animals? So that's one of the problems we're facing. And if you go to our next slide, this appeared in a Melbourne paper, page 3, sale yard cruelty on poor animals. Now, the pig in that story, that was a shocker. That should never have arrived at the sale yards, and I believed it was dragged off the truck and put in the sale yard. Someone was there, took a photo, put it to the paper, and away we go with a great big story. The sheep in the bottom had bumped its horn, no great damage, but there was a lot of blood, so it made for a very good story. But they're the sort of things that we see all the time around the place, where a photo can go viral in no time at all. We see photos of things that happen in the USA. We can see them within 30 seconds of them happening these days. And same within Australia, can go all over the place. There is a group in Australia now who are wanting to put drones, you know, those flying machine things, and they want to fly them over ranches or properties, over sale yards, over feedlots, whatever they can do, where they can find the smallest possible thing happening and then grow that into something really big to try and close us down. So we have a problem with that as well. Some of the problems that we face in Australia is our live export ban. I don't know whether you've heard about it, but overnight, because of problems that happened in Indonesia, the Australian government closed the market immediately. So that's created a hell of a lot more welfare issues in Australia than what it solved. We've got cattle that were destined in the northern part of Australia to go to Indonesia by boat that can't go there because of the ban. And then once the ban was lifted, those cattle were too heavy to go to that market and they're too far from any other abattoirs, and that part of the country is in drought, so we've got all sorts of welfare issues happening there. We insulted the Indonesian government by closing it off overnight without discussing it with them about the problems that were in only some of the abattoirs, and some of the information, some of the film footage that came out in that program that aired in Australia, we are now finding out that people were paid to be cruel to the animals and to act up for the cameras. And that was some of the people on the slaughter floor and some of the people in the yards who were handling the cattle. And they were paid to stick a knife into them out the back and do all those cruel things that we see about the place. So there's a problem. Recently we've had a problem in Egypt where more footage has leaked out of there, and we have stopped, the industry stopped it. It wasn't a government force ban, but the industry stopped the live export of livestock to Egypt for the time being. We've now got information from there that people were paid to act up in that one also. There was a veterinary officer who took a lot of footage and tried to appeal to the public that that meat from Australia or animals from Australia were going to be badly mistreated in Egypt and that that live export trade should stop. We've since found out that he is aligned with a company in the Sudan, so if the Australian animals stop, he gets all the business from Sudan sending their cattle in. So there's a lot of motive behind a lot of this animal welfare stuff that is affecting our business and affecting everybody else. The welfare part of everything is, it's not cruel. Sometimes what people see as being cruel is actually stopping cruelty from happening. You've got to do some things in animal husbandry and all that to the uneducated person who hasn't had anything to do with it, with the land. They would say that is a cruel act. But really, it's not a cruel act, it's welfare. I take it as the same as immunising our children. You know, is it cruel or is it for their best welfare? I'd say it's for their best welfare. They might cry and scream because someone jabbed a needle in their arm, but the outcome is what we're looking at. And that's what we've got to go to with welfare, because I think too many people think that on-farm practices and livestock sales are cruelty issues. Well, we've got to prove to them they're not. And all the previous people who've spoken this morning, Tim and Paul, have said, you know, we've got to lead the way. And I believe that the change, you don't like your mobile. I don't like them much either because they ring too often. Plus, there's too many gadgets on them these days, aren't there? You can do too many things. But I think we've got to accept change. We've all gone from, you know, non-air-conditioned cars to air-conditioned cars. We've gone from ringing phones on a wire. We've now got mobile phones, and who can remember the first mobile phones we were walking around with? You know, nearly a 12-volt battery we were carrying. So now we've got to accept the changes that are happening around us, otherwise we will be left behind, and the industry that we all love and work in will be left behind with it. We've got to be proactive, as both Paul and Tim have said, because we've got to lead the way, and we've got to go to the governments, American government, Canadian government, Australian government, and we've got to tell them what our business is and how it best works for us. Not have them sit on the hill and tell us what's best for us. They don't know. We've got to tell them. Where in the world are we in Australia? Well, we're that little country down the bottom there, and we are 9,935 miles away, so it was a fair bit of a fly to get here. 20 hours flight. But the problems, even though we're that far away, the problems are identical that we are facing with animal welfare, with our trade, and with everything we do. They're identical. The USA, if you go to the next one, please. The USA has 317 million people, Australia, we have 23 million. You have 89 million cattle. We have 29 million cattle. You have 5 million sheep. We've got 75 million sheep. Finally, we beat you in something. You've got 66 million pigs. We've got 2.2. So we've got one side of bacon and you've got the rest of it. You are 9.8 million square kilometres. We're 7.7, so we're not that much smaller. So if you overlay it over the top, that is to scale. That's what Australia looks like. On the map, I know it doesn't look that big down the bottom, but that's where we are. But our problems are the same, and the reason I'm here this year is to come and see and learn from you people is what you're doing to make your industry better, so I can take it back and say, well, this is what the, as we fondly call you, the Yanks are doing. And if the Yanks are doing it, it's got to be right, because we regard you people as world leaders, and you are, and you set a great standard, and we need to get our act together in Australia and come up to your standard, and maybe we could be doing things and fighting the opposition that we have against welfare in our businesses. We could be doing something a little bit different that you might learn from us. But the reason for my wife and I coming here not only is to share your hospitality, which was great last year, and I look forward to it this year, especially at bar time, but is the learning process. And my biggest thing is your problems are our problems, because if anything goes wrong up here in the States, you will get more world play than anybody else will. And that will then come down and feed into the animal welfare groups in Australia who say, see, we've proved it in America that it's wrong. You know, animal welfare in sale barns is all wrong. But if you can prove that it's right, you have helped our argument in Australia to say, we can then say, look what America's done. They've lifted their level to there. We're up with them, so there's nothing wrong with our business. Go away and go and annoy somewhere else. So that's about what we need to do. I thank you very much for having us again here. Thank you, Tim and Mark and Paul. Very interesting talk. And to your daughter, don't play football. Wouldn't do your face any good whatsoever. Thank you very much for having me, and I enjoyed catching up with you. And to all the contestants, good luck. And we are sending one of our guys from Australia to Calgary next month, Joe Wilkes. So if you're over there, say good day to Joe. He's a big fella. But he'll be there. So once again, thank you very much, and I hope you have a successful conference. I've just been asked, would I entertain a question or two? And I will do that, or I'll entertain either one. Yes, Mark. Certainly, yeah. We have a system in Australia called the National Livestock Identification Scheme, which is NLIS, or NILS. What it is, the law is right across the country, and I was listening earlier on about your problems with the states and all that sort of stuff. Well, we've only got 6 states and 2 territories, so we have a lot of problems. And you, with your 50-odd states, I can understand the problems of cross-border trading and all that sort of stuff. But they made it mandatory throughout the country that every animal, before it leaves the property of birth, must have a national livestock identification device attached to its ear. Now, they've done one thing in common. They've made the tag go in the off ear. They've gone for boluses, but a lot of the processors don't like the boluses because of the retrievement size and the processing side of it. It has cut down a fair bit of theft, not a lot of stock theft, but a fair bit in places. We can track that animal then if it is done correctly, and that is the biggest problem facing our identification system, is that it is not being done correctly. If a beast leaves a property and it's got its ear tag in, it comes into the sale yard, it's scanned, so the sale yard then receives it, and it's gone from property A to the sale yard, processor buys it, then transferred to property C. We've got lifetime traceability on it. If a producer buys it from the sale barn transfers it to that producer's property, and then if that producer sells it to another property without going through the sale barn, that's where the traceability is falling down, because the producers are not doing the transfers. So that's where the system's falling down. So that beast could have gone to three different properties without going through a sale barn. Then it turns up in the sale barn and its tag is read, and the tag reads that it should be back over there when it's really come from there and it's had three stops, so your traceability is lost. So it's not the be-all and end-all in traceability. And our biggest problem that we're facing now is they're trying to bring it in for sheep. And with the amount of sheep we've got that go through sale yards, it is going to be animal welfare issues. We're going to have all sorts of issues with missing tags, non-readers and all that sort of stuff. But I think the technology is getting better. I think the easiest thing would be, and I don't think it's far away, is that you chip an animal like they do with dogs and cats, but the problem with the livestock is that the microchip can migrate within the body. But if they can chip an animal, and then it's done by GPS. So wherever that animal moves, every time it moves off a GPS site, it will read back to where it is. And I think that is coming. How soon, I don't know. But I think you've got to embrace the identification scheme, but it is not going to work when only some states are doing it and others aren't, because if you move cattle across into another state where the legislation isn't there to comply with, to make them read those tags, that's when the whole system falls down. So the states that are doing it are let down by the states that aren't doing it. So it's got to be one of those things where you finally bite the bullet and everybody's into it for traceability. And Tim, you made the point about what the processors are asking for. That's one level, but it's now coming down to the next level as to what the consumer's asking for. And in Japan, you can go and buy a piece of Australian meat in Japan and you can trace that piece, individual piece of meat back to the farm where that came from. And that's what our customers, the consumer, is looking for. And with the more welfare problems that are being created, we need to be able to tell them this animal was treated fairly and it was at this property and that's where it's come from, that's its life history. So that's where we're getting to. Big answer for a small question, wasn't it?
What about funding for any kind of a program? What's
funding. That's interesting. The federal government gave $23 million some 5 years ago, 6 years ago, to get it going, and that went to producers, to us as stock agents, and to the farmers, and to the states to require regulation. They also then was a bit of state funding from the state governments who gave some funding, but it's not nearly enough money. Not nearly enough money to handle it. A tag in Australia for cattle costs about $3.80. Some states subsidise it, so it's back to down to $2.80. Some don't subsidise it, so you've got people who are buying a small farm in another state to go and buy the tag. So there's a bit of skullduggery going on already, but that's the Australian way of doing things, if we can get away with it. But, I think it's one of the systems that we've got to have, and we've got to embrace it and take it on. But movement of stock across borders and biosecurity is a huge problem in Australia because of our vast areas, and you would have the same thing here with livestock moving through three or four states to get to their final destination and possibly moving disease, because our biggest threat to us in Australia is foot and mouth disease coming into our country, because that will just close us. We can close the borders and close everything for a while if that happened. So that's why it was introduced into our country, to have an identification scheme that worked, that was national. It's getting better, but it's not 100%. I got off lightly. So thank you very much once again, and I'll see you all. You can all buy me a beer later on. I'm looking forward to it.